Amen. Christ is all. Thank you, Brother George, and thank you, Brother Craig, and thank all of you for joining us here on this wonderful December morning. And since it's the first Sunday in December, let's give the Lord a round of applause for bringing us into another month. Amen. I also want to say thank you to our Christmas Saint elves who decorated our sanctuary while we were gone. And that's Marlo, Chris Mills, Avon, Brian, which Brian? Davis, Calvin Gladden, Gabe, Flamina, and Grace. Thank you guys so much. And my wife is not here this morning because she is attending a funeral. So I told her that, you know, it's going to be pretty dead in there without you. So bad joke. You're supposed to laugh at that. I thought it was pretty good. It's only because I love you I let you do that. On the night that Jesus was born, an angel appeared to shepherds who were watching their flocks and announced to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be to all people." All people, no one exempted, no one excluded. I'm bringing you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And of course, the angel then went on to announce that this day a Savior has been born, who is Christ the Lord. This month, we're going to be exploring exactly what made it good news and what made it great tidings of joy to all people. We're going to be looking specifically at what's behind those words. Why did the angel speak those words? What was coming to earth that would create this effect of good tidings, great joy? And how does that compare the angel's announcement of who Christ is and what Christ has come to do with the rewording, if you will, that the evil one and the repackaging that the evil one has given to the name of Jesus when they hear it? Do people hear good news, great joy, all people, when the name of Jesus is mentioned? And if not, why not? Because that's the ad that God sent out. The ad that God put out when Jesus arrived was, hey, this is great news. This is good tidings, great joy for all people. What happened? So we're going to look this month at why that statement is so profoundly true and personal to each one of us. And we're going to do this by looking at the contrast that the scripture gives us to describe this event. And the contrast that we're going to look at are four. And first one today is from darkness to light. Week two will be from death to life. Week three will be from natural birth to rebirth, and week four will be from old things to new things. So let's take a moment and ask the Lord to bless our time as we look at His Word together. Lord, we thank You that You have sent Christ to all, and Christ is all. And we thank You for what You have done to make Christ all to us. We thank You, Lord, for the work that You continue to do to refresh that truth in our hearts and to refresh our experience of You. We recognize, Lord, that we are who we are where we are, and You are who You are to us because of what You have done. And so we ask that as we look at Your Word today, that You would help our hearts to receive Your truth and to rejoice, Lord, to experience what the angel announced there, great, good tidings of great joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you'll turn with me in your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 9 and 10 as our text. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. And Robert, that was right on time about the light. You know, we didn't talk beforehand, but that's exactly what we're talking about this morning. From darkness to light. 1 Peter 2, 9. And the word of the Lord says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Amen. If you're taking notes, our main idea this morning is our journey from darkness to light. Our journey from darkness to light is a God-directed wonder. Our journey from darkness to light is a God-directed wonder. The first thing we note here is that he called you out of darkness. He made the call. He initiated the action. And it repeats this in chapter 5, verse 10, where it says, "He called us into eternal glory." So he initiated the call. He tapped out each one of our numbers, if you will. I started to say dialed our numbers, but most of you wouldn't know what that meant. He punched in each one of our numbers. He made the call. And he made the call, and he kept on calling despite some of us ignoring it. Some of us ignoring it because the caller ID said Jesus. He kept on calling despite the fact that some of us just let it go into voicemail. He kept on calling even though some of us blocked his number. He found a way to get in touch with us and to make the call, to call us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So where were we when he called? Where were we? The darkness. Amen. We might have been in different houses. We might have been in different cities. We may have been in different time zones. We may have been in different countries, but we were all in the same place. We were all in darkness when he called us. And to better appreciate what a wonder our journey from darkness to light was, we need to better understand the mess we were in. We need to understand the darkness so we can appreciate the journey from the darkness to the light. Otherwise, darkness just sounds like a scary place to be. It was worse than just scary. It was a mess, and all of us were in it. There isn't a person who is standing in the light of Christ today who was not once in the darkness, hopelessly in the dark. So let's look at darkness. Darkness in the scripture represents separation from God and all the accompanying characteristics of that condition. That's what darkness is. It's separation from God and all of the accompanying characteristics of that condition. In the scripture, it's used to depict the power of Satan. It's used to describe the presence of sin. And it's used to describe the predicament of death. The power of Satan, the presence of sin, and the predicament of death. And by the way, don't worry about, I'm going to give you a bunch of verse references. Don't worry about trying to keep up, as is the case every Sunday. You will be able to find my notes on our website, valleybrook.church. Just go to sermons. And all of the verse references that I am giving you this morning, if you can't keep up, they will be there in my notes. But again, the power of Satan, the presence of sin, and the predicament of death. Ephesians 5:8 tells us that not only were we in the darkness, we were the darkness. How eerie is that? We were not only in, it says you were darkness. We were a part of it. I think about darkness. I think about the blackest darkness that I have experienced. And it's when my wife finally got me, after years of asking, she finally got me to go on our first cruise. And I resisted with my heels dug in every time she mentioned it. And my rebuttal was a one-word response, Titanic. And if she insisted, then I followed it up with a gesture. Not that gesture. It was this. Finally, she got me to go because her parents were celebrating their 60th anniversary and the whole family was going on a cruise. And she said, well, you know, hon, listen, if you don't go, I won't go. Now, what in the world are you going to do with that? So I went. And one of the things I noted was that, first of all, it was a fantastic time. I didn't know it was going to be such a great time. If she had just said to me, you know, you can relax and chill. You don't have to be running around all the time, party, party, party around all the people. You can just sit outside your stateroom and just chill by the and look at the ocean. I'd have said, oh, wow, okay, cool. But no, you know, it's like, well, you can eat all you want. And I'm like, well, I can eat all I want here, you know. You don't even know you're in the ocean. Well, if I don't know I'm in the ocean, why should I be in the ocean, you know? So I had a rebuttal to all of that. But one of the things that I noticed was at night, the darkness, and how complete, how total, how consuming, how ominous was the darkness when you're sitting out there and you can't see a thing. It's just blackness as far as your eyes can see. I couldn't take it. Laverne was sitting out there just having a good time at night, just sitting out there enjoying it. I couldn't even stand it. It was too scary for me. I felt like it was pulling me in. It was something's out there. I'd seen too many scary movies when I was a kid. Some sea creature's going to come out and grab me. It was like the unknown was just too intimidating. But when I think about that darkness, the spiritual darkness that we were a part of is even more intense, even more expansive. And except for Christ, it would have been forever, not just for a week. And we were not just surrounded by darkness like I was on that cruise. We were literally a part of it, the scripture says. You were darkness. And we loved it. The scripture says we loved it. We loved the darkness. It says in John 3:19, men loved the darkness instead of the light. So that was us. We loved the darkness because that was all we knew. We didn't know there was anything else. And so we tried to love that which we knew. And we did love that which we knew. Proverbs 4:19 says, the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. We didn't know. We were so ignorant that we didn't even know wickedness was wickedness. And when we did know that wickedness was wickedness, we didn't understand the destructive power of that wickedness. We were just flirting and walking along, blithely enjoying the wickedness and didn't understand what it involved. Ephesians 4:17-19 says that we were darkened in our understanding. Darkened in our understanding and separated from the life of God. Says we were given over to sensuality. Sensuality is anything we can do to satisfy the senses. Anything that we could grasp onto, our whole orientation was about satisfying our senses. That's all we were in it for. One way or another, we were just captured by this addiction to sensuality. And I don't care what it was or on what level, what scale, all of us were captured by that quest. And then it says in the same passage, it says we were captured by, we were separated from the life of God, given over to sensuality. And it says this, with a continual lust for more, an insatiable lust for more. No matter how much of it we got, we wanted more. We were ravenous. We couldn't take it. We found no contentment. There was always more that we wanted. So we loved the darkness and we wanted more of it. Darkened in our understanding. Separated from the life of God. I'll say more about that in a minute. Jesus was arrested at night in the darkness. And he recognized the symbolism. When his enemies came to arrest him, when they showed up that night in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Am I leading a rebellion? Am I leading a rebellion that you've come with swords and clubs?" Every day, I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns. When darkness reigns. He called it a time when darkness reigns because we were living under the reign of darkness. They were living under the reign of darkness. We were living under the reign of darkness. This past week, my view from my place, I wrote these words. I said, when Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing," he was not just referring to those standing around at the cross as he hung dying on the cross. He was referring to all those who would subsequently consider who he is. That's all of us. He was praying for all people throughout the years, the centuries, and the millennia, who would ignore him, who would scoff at him, and who would reject him. "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." He was praying for me. He was praying for my ignorant, wayward, foolishly unconcerned heart towards him. He was praying for my misconceptions about him. He was praying for my indifference. He was praying for my powerlessness against the deception of the evil one. He was praying for my rejection of him as the Savior of the world. He was praying for my enslavement to the darkness and my complicity with the darkness. "Father, forgive Dan, because he doesn't know what he's doing running around out there. Father, forgive Neola, because she doesn't understand what's really going on. Father, forgive John. John's a smart man, but he don't know what he's doing. Brother, Father, forgive Brother Jim. Jim is such a jovial, fun person, but he doesn't know what's going on. Father, forgive Amy. Hi, Amy. Forgive Amy. She's a sweetheart, she's Bill's daughter, and you want to hug her, but she don't know what's going on. Father, forgive them. They don't understand what they've been captured by. They don't understand what they are addicted to. They don't understand what they're doing to me. They don't understand who I am. So please forgive them. I was among those. I wasn't there. But he looked into the future and he saw me and he saw you. And he said, "Father, forgive them, because they don't know what the deal is. They are enslaved to the darkness. They are children of darkness. They are a part of the darkness, and helplessly so. They cannot extricate themselves from the darkness. And that is why I have come. Because I have come that they may have light and have life. And that is where we turn our attention to now. Jesus called us out of that into his marvelous light. So what's so marvelous about where we are? What's so marvelous about where we are? Let's talk about the light. Light represents oneness with God. Oneness with God and all the accompanying characteristics of that condition. Oneness with God and all of the characteristics that accompany that condition. Isaiah 9:2 says this, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light." The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. A light has dawned. It gets brighter. See, when you became a believer, the light dawned. And it continues to get brighter as your relationship with Christ grows deeper. The light gets brighter. And the things that you begin to see become more evident, become more vivid, become more distinct, become more meaningful, become more life-changing. This light dawning, I like that. It just started. The people in the darkness, you saw the dawn. And as you continue to grow in your walk with Christ, the dawn becomes more and more like the noonday. Gave Laverne a card this morning celebrating her rebirth day. I don't know exactly when it is, and she doesn't know exactly when it happened, but this was the day she was baptized when she was a little kid, and she was a believer at the time. So I said, well, let's just celebrate that day. And I would encourage all of you to, if you don't know the exact day you became a believer, pick one. It doesn't really matter whether it's the day or not. You can never celebrate too much. Pick one and say, this is the day I'm going to celebrate my rebirth. Even if it's not the day that I made my profession of faith in Christ, that's okay. That's not important. What's important is that you know that you have and that you take the opportunity to just say, thank you, Lord, and make that day a celebration. I mean, we commemorate anniversaries. We commemorate birthdays. So why not pick a rebirth day and make that a celebration? Well, that's what I did for my wife. I picked December 4th. And so I wrote her a little card and I told her that, you know, if there was ever an earthly creature who could make heaven any brighter than it is, it's you. Yeah, I like that too. And I said, thank you, and I thank the Lord for blessing us with her. Amen. And blessing us with the vibrancy and the radiance that comes out of her because of her relationship with Christ. And then I thanked him for her being my wife, that the Lord had given me such a God-filled wife. He called her out of darkness. Laverne was stumbling around in the darkness just like the rest of us. And the Lord, by his grace, called her out of darkness into his marvelous light, made her a part of his forever family like all of us. And we get to spend all of eternity with one another. She always tells the Lord, Lord, I want to be married to him forever. I said, well, there's no marriage in heaven. He's going to make an exception for me. So if you don't want to go along with it, she says, you better start saying it now because I'm praying it. But all of us have been called into that marvelous light. And we were walking in darkness and we saw a great light. And it has dawned upon us and it continues to dawn. It continues to brighten as the days go by. In John 8:12, when Jesus spoke to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In other words, I'm the one. I'm the one who's going to show you what's really going on. See, you live in a world of deception. You live in a world of facades, and you live in a world of untruth. You live in a world of a charade. I am going to tell you the truth. I'm going to show you the truth. I am going to be your personal guide into the truth. I will show you what's going on. I'll show you the unseen things. The things that we see with our natural eyes are temporary. But I am the light, and I am going to open your eyes so that you can see the unseen things. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness again, but will have the light of light, life. In Psalm 19, verse 8, it says, "The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart." The word of the Lord is right, and it brings joy to our heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. How many of you said this morning when you thought about coming here to church, "I'm going to get up this morning and I'm going to go to church and hear the word of the Lord so I can feel miserable"? No, no. You are here because the Lord's words bring joy to your heart. And the reason why the word of the Lord brings joy to your heart is because you are no longer part of the darkness. The darkness hates the light. But because you are no longer a part of the darkness, the word of the Lord now brings joy to your heart. Instead, our hearts now say, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And our hearts rejoice in that truth. Instead of wanting more of the darkness, remember what it says about the darkness? You had a continual lust for more. Instead of wanting more of the darkness, we want more of the light. We want more of the light. Now, sure, we're still tempted because we're in human bodies. We're still susceptible to deception. We are still flesh and blood. So we may be allured to the enticements of the world. But as I wrote in Friday's Just a Moment piece, don't walk around lamenting the fact that you aren't where you want to be spiritually, because you should be rejoicing that you want to be somewhere else. Instead, thank God for that desire to want to be better, because there was a time when you didn't have it. Because there was a time when you loved the darkness and you had a continual lust for more because you didn't know any better. But God separated you from the darkness. You couldn't separate yourself. I couldn't separate myself. God separated us from the darkness and made us children of light. And now we desire more of the light, even if our flesh resists, even if we're sometimes susceptible to the lies of the evil one because we've got this human body and we're living in a world system that continues to bombard us and brainwash us. But we also have the living Spirit of God in us. And he's the one who says, "Nope, that's not the way. This is the way. Walk in it. Follow me and you will no longer be trapped by darkness, because I'll show you the way out." Oh yeah, you're going to stub your toe. You're going to stumble and fall. Peter, yes. You're going to turn and run, but you're going to come back. And when you come back, strengthen your brothers. Yes, yeah, you're going to take a tumble, but that's okay. I haven't left you, and I will be with you, and I'm going to show you the path of light, because I am the light of the world. So thank the Lord that you have a hunger for more of the light than the darkness. Ephesians 5, 8 and 9 says, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, all righteousness and truth. Live as children of light. Live in accordance with what you know to be true. Live in accordance with what you know to be true. Live aligned to what's really going on. Live consistent with what you are. You are a child of light. Recognize it. Live according to it. Because God is merciful, it says he causes the sun to rise on the righteous and the unrighteous. Because God is merciful, he says he causes his sun to rise on the just and the unjust. Everybody on earth is a beneficiary of the kingdom of light. Any goodness that there is on this earth, it comes from above. And in that sense, everybody is experiencing the benefits of the kingdom of light. But not everybody is a part of the kingdom of light. We're experiencing the benefits because God is mercy, God is merciful, but we are not necessarily children of the kingdom of light. We are children. The kingdom of light is our home. We aren't just beneficiaries. We live there. It's like this. You know, it's like Theresa's the mom that makes the cookies. And the whole neighborhood comes by and they enjoy the cookies. And she's generous and she gives out the cookies. But her daughters get to live with her. They live where the cookies are coming from. The cookie maker is their mom. And the world is experiencing the blessings coming from the kingdom of light. But we are the children of the kingdom of light. He is our Father. That is our home. That is where we are going. It is where we belong. So we thank God for that. And we celebrate that. I'm forever grateful to Jesus for that prayer. Father, forgive them. Because a day came when my eyes were open. And I saw who it was that was crucified all those years ago. I saw the person. I saw the person, Jesus. Whereas when I was a part of the darkness, all I saw was religion. But when the light came, it shed that cloak of religion, and I saw the person, Jesus. I am thankful because a day came when my eyes were open. And in the light, I saw acceptance instead of when I was in the darkness, I saw judgment. I saw love, not condemnation. I saw freedom, not oppression. I saw Jesus as the one who wants to liberate me to life, not oppress the little life I got. I saw him as the one who wanted to be the one who blossomed my joy, not snatched the little bit of joy I have. But that's because a light dawned. Not because I figured it out. It's because a light dawned and I saw in the light who he really is. I saw a savior, not a tyrant. I saw what he came to do, not just for the world, but I saw what he came to do for me. I had been delivered from the darkness and into his glorious light. 40 years ago, yesterday, I wrote in my journal, I'm 26. Oh, no. I wrote those words 40 years ago. I'm 26. Oh, no. And I said, and one day, I'm going to look at that 26 and say, I was only 26 then. I wrote that 40 years ago. And today, 40 years later, I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for 40 years of sustained faith in Him. Sustained faith, ups and downs, ins and outs, back and forth, up the stairs, tumbling down the stairs, slipping, missing a stair, can't find the stairs. But here I stand. This is why I am so convinced that eternity is for real, because there is an ageless vigor to the Lord's love. An ageless vigor. He never tires of us. And we never feel like He's tired of us. We get tired of us. But we don't ever sense that He's tired of us, because His love is ageless. 26 to 66, His love remains the same. So here's what I want you to do. Here's the therefore of today's message. First of all, I want you to rejoice that your names are written in heaven. I want you to pick out that rebirth day, and I want you to celebrate that as thank you, Jesus, for the day that you pulled me, separated me from darkness, and brought me into your marvelous light. And then every day, somewhere along the way, as often as you think of it, rejoice that your names are written in heaven, because that won't change. That does not change from day to day. Everything else is subject to changing, but that won't change. So rejoice. The second thing I want you to do is pray. And this is what I want you to pray. I wrote, realizing that I was once a part of the darkness, I prayed for those in my relationship sphere. My friends, my family, my fraternity brothers, my neighbors, my Facebook associates, everybody that has not yet seen Jesus for who He truly is, those who remain a part of the darkness, all who have not yet become a part of His forever family. My prayer was not an original prayer. It was a repeat of a one-sentence prayer from many years ago. Father, forgive them. Because just as it was once true of me, they don't know what they're doing. Show them the light, just as you showed me the light. See past how irritating they are to you. Ride the wave of how much love you have for them. So if the people that you really love, ride the wave of that love with a prayer. Lord, open their eyes so that they can see the light. Touch their eyes the way you touched that blind man on the road one day. He said, I was blind, but now I see. And those that are my enemies, those that are against me, those who are plotting against me, those who make my existence excruciating, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus, if you could hang on a cross and look out amongst the multitude of people, if you could look at those people who pulled out your beard and who lacerated your back and spit upon you and say, Father, forgive them. I don't have that, Jesus, but you do. Give me some of that, please. See, I can't muster that up, but you can. So, Father, give me my portion of love so that I can surrender them to you the way you surrendered me to the Father. So pray for them. And third, receive. If you are not certain that you are part of what Colossians 1:12 refers to as the kingdom of light. If you're not certain, 100% certain that you are a child of light. If you don't know for sure that you're not a part of the darkness, maybe you've never heard that before, maybe you don't even know, maybe you think I'm trying my best to be as good as I can, but I can't say definitively, I can't say certainly that I'm not a part of the darkness. I can't say that I'm a child of light. I can't say that I'm absolutely certain that when my eyes close in death, that I see Jesus Christ, that I am going to go to be with him forever in heaven. I can't say that for sure. I didn't know you could know that for sure. Well, you can. And what I would like you to do is to receive what he has provided. If you're not certain, if you're not sure, if you think you still may be in the domain of darkness, listen to Jesus' words. Jesus told him, you're going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark doesn't know where he's going. Put your trust in the light while you have it so that you may become sons of light. When Jesus hung on the cross, a supernatural 3-hour darkness covered the land. And what happened in that 3-hour time span is Jesus himself became sin for us. Remember how I said one of the things that darkness represents is the presence of sin? When Jesus was hanging on the cross, a supernatural darkness covered the land for 3 hours. And in that 3-hour period, Jesus literally took all the sins of the world upon himself, and he became sin for us. And the Father punished Jesus for all the sins we committed. That's what was happening. That's what the darkness was all about. The reign of darkness. The evil one thought in that 3-hour period when the darkness was encompassing all, he thought, now I've got him. Now I've got the victory. And yes, he was reigning for 3 hours. It was a 3-hour reign. And when Jesus died, he said, it's finished. It has been accomplished. It has been paid in full. And then when he rose 3 days later, when he rose, that was God's receipt saying, I accept the payment. It's done. I accept the payment. It is done. That's the receipt. His resurrection. Ding! Please be sure to take your receipt when you leave. For those who choose not to, Jesus describes a place away from the presence of the Lord. His words, away from the presence of the Lord. He says it's a place of outer darkness. Darkness, that's how he describes it. A place of outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, Christianity is this. Christianity is a relationship with the Christ. And the Christ is light. And wherever Christ is, there is light. And wherever Christ isn't, there's darkness. There is light in this world, not just because of the sun and all of that. Light itself, Jesus is light itself. Whatever its source, whatever is generating it, Jesus is the source of all light. Whatever other body or instrument he may use, light comes from him. He is the light. And without him, there is no light. All there is darkness. So let me say, George, come here for a minute. Let's say that George is light. That's what he is. Okay? Now, if I hang out with George, if I have George in my life, I've got light, right? Now, if he is not in my life, okay, hold, sit down. Thank you, brother. If he's not in my life, what do I have? Darkness, because he's the light. See, Jesus is the light, and so to say no to him is to say yes to darkness. It's the only alternative. It's part of who he is. So he's not just trying to say, well, if you don't want me, huh? You know, if you don't want me, I have to take all of who I am with me. All the glorious things that make Jesus himself, all the glorious things that make God, God, are part of who he is. And to say no to him is to say yes to what he isn't. Everything he isn't. Everything he isn't. So if this isn't an offer that seems like good tidings of great joy to all people, including you, then there's a biblical explanation for why. There is a biblical explanation for why we are tepid and why we are lukewarm and why we are resistant. When the angel said, this is great tidings, this is good tidings of great joy, there's a reason why it doesn't resonate with us that way. There's a reason why we hear it with indifference. There was a reason I heard it with indifference. I sat in church and heard the pastor every week, and I sat there indifferent. There's a reason for that, and it's not just because I'm sleepy. It's not just because I want to get home and watch the game. It's not just because I've been sitting here a long time, I'm tired, I had a late night. That's not the only reason. The reason is in 2 Corinthians 4, and this is what it says. Even if our gospel is veiled, if you can't see that great tidings and those good tidings and that great joy, it says it's veiled to those who are perishing because the God of this age, or the evil one, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. There it is right there. Why? Well, because the evil one, the God of this age, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. There is another party at work in this thing, and it's the evil one. And 2 Corinthians 11:14 puts it this way. It says, Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. And what does that mean? Maybe you say, I'm not a Christian, but I'm spiritual. What the scripture is talking about that rescues us from darkness is not spirituality. It's Christ. And if you are inclined to want to be spiritual, the evil one knows that too, and will offer you something up as a substitute for Christ himself. That is what it means by he disguises himself. He masquerades as an angel of light. That means he'll sell you something that sounds great. He'll sell you something that sounds scientific. He'll sell you something that sounds profound. He'll sell you something that sounds really good and noble. He'll sell you something that says, you know what, all you need to do is be the best person you can be. He'll sell you something that says, you know what, you can be good enough. You don't really need a savior. He'll sell you something that sounds good, looks good, smells good, but as I wrote when I was a 20-something, it's a worm cake. He takes and he decorates it to make it pleasing to the eyes. But when you eat it, you find it's bitter to the taste. And that is what masquerading as a messenger of light means in the scripture, as an angel of light. Jesus is the truth. And he said these words, and I'm closing with this. I have come into the world as a light. I've come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. That's why he came. He's inviting all of us to say yes to the light. From darkness to light, the journey is a wondrous one available to all of us. Kimberly sent me a text message this morning, and I loved it. It was a three-word text message. Sister Kimberly McCoy, she sent a text message, and it just says, Jesus did it. Jesus did it. And that's the truth. Jesus did it. He is the one who separated us from the darkness and brought us into his marvelous light. And all that remains for us is to believe it and to say yes to it. And as we close in prayer, I'm going to give you that opportunity and we'll have our last song. If you would like to just say yes to the light, it's not complicated. Remember, the light is a person. And if I said to you, hey, how would you, if I said to Neola, Neola, how would you like to go out to a restaurant with me for lunch afterwards? I don't have to have fancy language. I could say it a number of ways. Neola's a person. She can hear me. She understands. I don't have to have fancy words. The person on the other end of that invitation that Jesus made is a person, and he understands and he hears. He doesn't need flowery language. He doesn't need a particular posture from you. All he needs is your heart to say yes. I want that. That's it. I heard it. I like it. I want it. That's it. I heard what he said, Jesus. I can't repeat it all. I heard what he said. I like it. I want it. I want it for me. I want you for me. That's it. And if that is the attitude of your heart, you can be confident in that moment that you have passed out of death into life. We're going to look at that in a couple weeks, death to life. But out of darkness into his marvelous light. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for every person in this room, every man, every woman, every child, every person, Lord, who's heard these words, these fumbling words of mine, Lord, that cannot do justice to what you have done, to what you have offered. It's just impossible. It doesn't matter, Lord, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. It doesn't really matter how articulate, how precise, how powerful, how weak. It doesn't matter. What matters, Lord, is that you are the one who sheds light in every heart. And I pray for those in this room, Lord. There may be someone in this room who has yet to make that decision to be definitive about wanting you to be the light of their life. And if that is the case, Lord, I pray for that person, those persons, that they would simply say, I heard it and I want it. And Lord, if you are the living God as you are, you understand each heart. And I pray that you would open their eyes to see a new world, just as you did for me, Lord. The day that I came to know you, there was no one else. I mean, I didn't pray a prayer. You saw my heart and you entered and you opened my eyes. I didn't understand all that I was seeing, but I knew that I was seeing something different. I knew that I was in a different place. And I pray for those, Lord, in this room, any who have not yet made that decision for you, that you would help them to see you in a different way. And we ask you for this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Gina at home, did you hear that? I'm the light. I'm the light. Pastor Dan said a lot of things up here today, and that's one of the main things that's going to stick with me this week. I am the light. That doesn't just apply to Gina, it applies to all y'all. I'm the light, amen? But that's not the only thing I heard. I also heard a sterling representation of God's grace that he hung there on the cross and prayed for us, what he forecasted us to be in the future. And he replaced that lust that we had for sensuality with a lust for getting to know him better, a lust for relationship, a lust for more faith, a lust for more grace and more trust. And that's what this song is about. Oh, for grace to trust him more. I need your energy on this song. This is a reimagining of this song. I need you to please, if you would stand to your feet, if you would be prepared to clap your hands. This is meant to swing, y'all. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word and just to rest upon him.
promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Oh, Jesus, yes, Jesus, how I trust him, and how I prove him more and more. Oh, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, I'm so glad I've learned to trust him. Precious Jesus, Savior and friend, and just to rest upon his promise that he will be with me until the end. Oh, Jesus, yes, yes, Jesus, how I trust him and how I prove him. Oh, and oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, Jesus, how I trust him and how I prove him more and more. Oh, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus, how I trust him and how I prove him more and more. Oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, glory to his name, how I trust him and how I prove him more and more. Oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace, oh, for grace, just a little bit more grace, yeah, just a little bit more grace, oh, just a little bit more grace. Well, just a little bit more grace. If I could have a little bit more, if I could have a little bit more, if I could have a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. Oh, just a little more grace. Grace to trust, to trust him more.
Amen. Oh, for grace to trust him more. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time, and we thank you for your amazing grace. Lord, we thank you that you have given us an appetite for you by your Spirit. And we ask that as we leave this place, that your spirit would continue to do what, Lord, you have been doing. And that is to cultivate, to inspire us, to cultivate our relationship with you in a way, Lord, that personalizes our experience of the living Christ. We ask, Lord, that as we think about these things related to the darkness that we were once a part of and the light that we are now forever a part of, that our hearts would be filled with gratitude, that our hearts would be filled with the joy that you, Lord, prayed that we would experience just before you went to the cross, that your joy would be in us and our joy would be made full. And now may the grace of God and the love of Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with each of us now and forever. Let us all say, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.